victory in war, a victory in war. And they called it, used to call it V-Day, which was Victory Day. And the day in which there was victory over Germany and the defeat of Hitler and the being able to come home from war. And, you know, fightings and wars are constantly happening around us, and we cannot get away from it, it seems like. And it seems like sometimes there's no real victor or victory. But tonight in the scriptures, it talks about, we're going to find here in James 4, about wars and fightings. And but we're not going to be talking so much about wars that are in other countries, but rather wars that are sometimes that we're fighting in our own hearts, fightings in our own lives. It seems like sometimes that we cannot get away from fighting. There's everybody's always fighting around us. You know, it's sad to say, but even in church, people are fighting. You know, even in church, people are fighting. You hear it all the time. I was just talking to a missionary the other day, and he was telling me that he was wanting to go back to his home church and spend some time there. And whenever he went back, he's found the doors were closed. Unbeknownst to him, there was a huge fight in the church, so big that they could not even keep the doors open anymore. Just sad. I mean, just really sad when you consider that that's what fighting can bring you to. There are battles raging all over in our lives. They're in our homes, they're in our hearts, and they're in humanity. They're everywhere. And no matter what we do, sometimes we end up in the fight, don't we? We've all been involved in fightings. We've all been involved in wars, not necessarily in the wars that we're going to be looking at with guns and battles and soldiers and those kinds of things. But we have wars that are definitely in our heart. And we find the answer for us how to have victory over that in our life. And I think this is huge. I was just, this is, to me, this was just wonderful for me. I just, and I hope that maybe I can portray a little bit of the night, some things the Lord has taught me. But the scriptures have the answer. And the fact of the matter is this, is that all, and don't disclude yourself, don't say I'm not in the bunch, because we all fight. Every one of us. We all bicker. We all fight. Every one of us. I have never believed anybody that has said to a husband and wife that has said, we have never had one fight, and then you must not live together or something. And what I mean by that is not that they, and I understand what they mean by that. What they mean by that is that we've never been throwing stuff at each other and kicking each other out of the house and pulling guns or knives on each other. I mean, they think when they say we've never fought before, they mean they've never really come to blows or something like that. I was just listening to a lady the other day whose dad is in prison right now serving a life sentence. And she was there the night that her mother and her dad got into an argument. That argument escalated. And her mother reached for a knife to stab her dad. The dad grabbed the knife and stabbed her mother and killed her right there on the spot. And now he's serving a life sentence for that particular thing. And I'm not saying for us that fighting's going to go that far, but that's how far fighting can go. You know, that's how far it can go. It's sad when you really think about it. It's really sad when you ever consider the fights that have happened in so many places. But we have all fought. Every one of us, whether it was with a brother or a sister or with a roommate or with a spouse or with a coworker or with whoever it is, you pick them out. You've had a fight with somebody. You've had a bicker. You've had an argument with somebody. And we need to declare right now in our hearts and in our lives that fighting is sin. That fighting is sin. And that might be hard to say. Well, I say, well, it's just a little fight. We didn't really mean anything by it. We just have a little argument now and then. I just have a little argument with my boss every once in a while. Well, call them what you may, but the Bible is very clear that to live in such a way is to live a sinful and ungodly way. Now, I want to study that out tonight. I want to show us this evening that it's ungodliness. And I hope to show us the night that the Scriptures have an answer to it. And that's always very important to me, that the Scriptures have an answer. They have an answer for us, and that's why the message tonight is victory over fighting. So, number one, let us see the first of all is this. We'll begin, I believe, probably very negatively. I hate to do that, but maybe the positive light on the end will show, will look much greater and much brighter if we'll see this negative dark side of fighting. It says here in verse number one, we'll begin here tonight, I guess, as we said earlier, in chapter four of James, verse number one. He says, "Now from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust, and ye have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight, and ye war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." Now, there seems to be in our minds sometimes this false idea, I think, that fighting is okay as long as it's in certain arenas, venues, or reasons. Now, what do I mean by fighting? I need to define that right away, right off the bat. We need to define it like this. Now, we're not talking about here two nations fighting, though very well we could be, all right? But that's not our source tonight. That's not where we're looking to. We're not looking at another country invading somebody else and having war with somebody. I would hope that a country, if somebody invaded America, that we wouldn't sit by idly, but rather we would take up arms and defend ourselves. I was just reading this morning over in the book of Genesis, where Lot was taken away and godly Abraham, a friend of God, took up arms and went down and fought for his brother's life to bring him back and bring all of his goods back. So God has a place for those kinds of things. I truly believe that. He commissioned the children of Israel by the commissioning hand of God to go fight. Joshua was told, go kill them all. Go kill everybody in Jericho. I mean, there were fightings and wars that were commissioned of God. So we're not talking about that tonight. I'm not speaking of somebody maybe comes by you and grabs up one of your children or grabs up your wife's purse that, oh, I shouldn't fight. I mean, where does come wars and fightings from among us? Don't be quoting James chapter 4 and verse number 1. Go after the guy and slug him, all right? And get your kid back. Get your wife's purse back. Do what you got to do to get your thing back, right? Because, you know, that's defense. That's defending your family. That's defending your livelihood, the things that are that God has given to you to protect and to have. So we're obviously not talking about that. But what are we talking about? We're talking about three words that come up very clearly in the dictionary. And these three words, it's contention, strife, and quarreling. This is what our attention is being drawn to here this evening. And the Bible is very obvious about contention. You know what Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 10 says? It says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Now, we need to hold on to the end of that verse. It'd be very important for us at the end of the message tonight. But it says, only by pride cometh contention. You and I, every single time that we have an argument with somebody, there is pride that is involved. There is pride that's involved. There is a contention that's brewing. There is this contention. There is this quarreling. There is this strife. And every time I have a quarrel against someone, every time that I have a disagreement, or every time that I feel that I shouldn't have been treated that way, then I want to give some kind of self-justification for myself because I didn't deserve that or anything like that, then you know what? I begin to well up with pride. Contention begins to exist, and strife and quarreling come at us, and the Bible is telling us very true, and he's asking a rhetorical question, from whence cometh wars and fightings from among you? Well, we're going to see that here in just a little bit. I think we can all agree that such fighting is not healthy for us, and it's certainly not holy. It's not holy, and it's not healthy, and it won't help at all. The psychological world says, go ahead, fight it out. That's what the psychological world says. That's what new psychology says. Fight it out. Get it all out there. Air it all out there, it says. Get it all out there. That's ridiculous. That's like saying, all right, you know what? You're sick with a stomach virus. Why don't you just come in here and vomit all over me and make you feel better? That's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous for us to think that if we'll just vomit out a bunch of nasty, terrible words to somebody that would make us feel better. Oh, sure, it didn't make you feel better, but it made the other person feel like vomit. Made the other person feel terrible. Made them feel horrible. Made them feel stupid. Made them feel ridiculous. Made them feel in a way that wasn't good. And we need to realize that these words that we can say, that we can pour out, like it even says in James chapter 3, but it talks about, we're not going to get into this tonight, but in James chapter 3, he compares these words. He says they're acidic, they're bitter, and they're fiery words of hell that pour out cursing. And you know what that kind of reminds me of? You ever had one of those, and I don't mean to be too gross here tonight, but you ever had one of those little burps, that kind of acidic stuff comes up out of your, that kind of that nasty, you know what I mean? I don't mean to be gross or anything, but I'm just asking you. You've had that come up out of you, and you've had that taste in your mouth, that horrible stomach acid taste in your mouth. You know, guess what? Those are like the words that pour out of our mouth when we're in disagreements and arguments and quarreling and strife and contention. They're acidic. They're bitter. They're strifeful. They're fiery words of hell. Well, let us look here where they come from. Where do these come from? Well, let us look, number one. It says in verse number one for us, go back to it. It says, come they not hence, even of your lusts, at war in your members? Number one, letter A, number one, I should have said this, fighting is ungodly. Letter A is this, is that they come from our lusts. Now, we already know something very true about our lusts, don't we? We don't have to go very far to find it. If you don't know it, it's over there in James chapter number 1 and verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We're always stuck with lust, that lust is always some kind of pornographic disease. That lust is some kind of adulterous fault. But the Bible is very clear that lust goes a lot further than that. It is just an unnatural emotion is what it is. And right here, it's an unnatural as far as a spiritual person is concerned, somebody that's saved. It's unnatural emotion, an unnatural desire, I should really be calling it, that we shouldn't have. Maybe a natural desire. An overwhelming, and this thing where he says, from whence come wars and fightings from among you? They come from your lust. They pour out from your lust. From this over-sensationalizing of wanting to get your way. And then again, in this very same chapter, we read that the Spirit, it says in verse number 6, or verse number 5, go down to James chapter 4 and verse number 5, he says, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Lusteth to envy? Envy is sin. Lust leads to sin. And it's something that we're asked to put off. We're asked to put off envy and strife. We're asked to stop doing it. We're asked to cut it out of our lives. So if fighting comes from our lusts, which was expressed that they brings forth sin, and when our lusts are lived out and they're fighting because of envy, then we're living ungodly lifestyles because we're fighting. We're living ungodly when we fight. It's ungodly. It's not righteous. It's not holy. It's not good. It's not right for us to do it. It's not right for us to be involved with it. From whence come wars and fightings among you? They come from our lust. That's where they come from. And we learn that in our lust, there only brings one thing forth, and that is sin. And I think we can make the obvious, logical, and very reasonable connection that if lust, that fighting comes from lust, and lust is only brings forth sin, then fighting must be sin. Must be a sinful way to live. Letter B. It's sinful, and it's also sad. Nobody wins in fighting. Nobody wins in a quarrel. Nobody wins in an argument. Nobody wins with contention. Nobody wins. You think you won because you said the last word, but you didn't win. That little dog I've got, that little pixie, she'll be barking at something. I'll tell her, hush up, be quiet. She'll, and I say, be quiet. And I'll go inside, and just about the time I close the door, she'll... She has got to have the last word on everything. That little dog does every single thing that it. But you know what? It never worked. It never. When I guess she wins. I guess that's one case. But for us as human beings, nobody wins. Nobody wins. You don't win. Your wife doesn't win. Your coworker doesn't win. The boss doesn't win. Nobody wins. It's a lose-lose situation because you're both sinning. You're both being ungodly. Letter B, they come from a lack of asking. So number one, letter A is that fighting is ungodly because it proceeds from our lust, but also because it's from a lack of asking. The Bible is very clear. Jesus is very honest and very clear with us that we ought to ask. That we ought to ask God for things. I think verse 2 is a further explanation of things. And he says, you lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and you war. You're doing all these things. You're bickering, you're fighting, you're contending. You're strifeful, you're quarrelsome, you fight, you war. Yet you have not because you ask not, he says. Instead of asking God for our needs, we try to take it by force from someone else. We fight about things to get our way. This goes from the earliest of childhood days when children fight over a toy. They want a toy that somebody else has, and so what do? They fight about it so that who can see who can play with it. That's the case for adults too. It's just on a different scale. Now we fight over who needs to take care of the children, right? Or who is not working enough to meet the needs, or who is not doing what I want it to do in the way that I want it done. Or who has not given me the work schedule that I want? Or who is not letting me into the lane that I need, right? He will fight over the craziest things. People get out of their cars and go and punch somebody's lights out just because they wouldn't let them into traffic. From whence come wars and fightings from you? They come from your lust. They come from your lack of asking. You don't ask him. We fight over all kinds of stuff. Too much to list. Too much to name. But it's all centered in a lustful attitude and in a lack of asking God to work out our problems. We think, though it never works, that if we'll fight one more time, that will change that person or change their mind or get my way. Oh, you might get your way, but somebody else isn't going to be very happy with you. And what did you lose to get your way? You see, the thing is this, is that God is not pleased. God is not pleased. Fighting is definitely ungodly. We have problems. We have strife. We have areas of contention that come up in our lives. And yet, we never seem to ask God what He wants. We never seek the Lord to help us in our needs. The trouble arises, instead of asking God for advice and wisdom in the situation, what do? We fight about it. We've got a problem with our finances, and so what do? We fight about it. We've got a problem with the children, so what do? Instead of asking God about it, what do? We fight about it. We've got a problem with something that's going on at work with a job situation. So what do? We fight it out with somebody. But you see, the things, the way of the Christian, the way the Christian works, the way the believer works, is that's not how it works. You don't fight it out. You ask God. You got a problem with the children? Then what do? You ask God. You got a problem with the finances? Then you go to God. You ask God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't He the most wonderful, valuable, and resource that we have in our whole entire Christian existence and being? It's God. It's the Holy Spirit to go to at any time, at any place, at any point. You have a problem with your parents? What do with your parents? You fight with them. Is that the way we're supposed to do it? No, you ask God. You go to God. You seek God. And I think here we have failed in one of the first points. In fact, we failed in one of the first points of the book of James, where it says over in James chapter number 1, in verse number 5, he tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God will be pleased to give you wisdom in these areas, but God will certainly upbraid and reproach and scold and rebuke us for not using the wisdom of this, for using the wisdom of this world to solve our problems. Look over to James chapter 3 and verse number 14. Look what it says here about this bitter envy and about this strife, about this contention. You're there in James in 3 and verse number 14. Look what the Bible says about it, okay? This is the Bible. This is the scriptures on the matter. What does God have to say about fighting? Here it is. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now, that is a very important phrase, because it goes back to verse number 13 where it says, who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? And so he's answering that question in a two-part way. And the second part way is found in verse number 14 where he says, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself and say, you know what? If I just fight this thing out, I'll get what I need. I'll get what I want. I'll be okay. Our life will be better if we'll just have a fight, if we'll just get into this thing, if I'll just say something, if I'll just pour it out, if I'll say something I know I shouldn't say, I'll feel better. I'll get it out. But don't listen to that. Don't lie to yourself, okay? Who is a wise man? You're not wise by fighting. He says, don't lie to yourself. But he says in verse 15, he says, this wisdom that wants to fight, that wants to have strife, that wants to have bitter envy, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Did you catch that? The wisdom and the thought that if I just fight, if I'll fight it out, if I'll have a quarrel, if I'll strife it, and maybe you're not even thinking I'll fight it out. Maybe that's just what happens. Maybe that's just what proceeds to happen in your life. And all of a sudden, one day you recognize that you're fighting and you're thinking to yourself, you know what? The scripture says that's not the way it's supposed to be done. But yet you continue in it because you think you're going to get your way out of it. The Bible says that wisdom, that kind of wisdom is devilish, it's worldly, and it's sensual. It's not of God. It's ungodly. And in fact, he says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That's why a husband and wife can fight over a knife, and the wife can go to stab the husband, and the husband can turn around and grab the knife and stab the wife. Why? It's because out of these things come every evil work. That's the reason. How did somebody end up like that? Well, it began with fighting. It began with this lust of the heart that poured out. May God help us to realize that fighting is ungodly. But number two, may God help us to realize that fighting is unadvised. Fighting is never recommended by God. Strife, discord, and quarrels are never mentioned in God's ways in which he advises us to use them. Oh, I know what the scripture says. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Oh, there's some things that we need to fight. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But we're not talking about people. Even the Bible says that we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. We're not even wrestling against them, but against principalities and powers. Think about Paul. Even when Paul was under great scrutiny and he was being asked lots of questions and being demanded of on his trials before he went to Caesar. I mean, he never even wanted to try to fight. Even when he went to cities, what did he do? Did he cause a ruckus? No, he went to the synagogue first. He went to the Jews first, so as to give them a chance, so as to let them see something. He was not trying to cause fighting. He was not trying to cause revolutions, but he was rather trying to do the will of God. Fighting is unadvised. And I think it's in this council that fighting is unadvised that we find the victory that is in us, in our lives, and can be found right here in the Word of God. Go back up to James chapter 3 and verse number 14, or excuse me, verse number 13. Look what it says. It says, now who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? And here's the first part of the question is answered here. It says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, the first point here, I believe the first area of victory, if we're going to have victory over fighting, is that we need to understand the first point is this, is holiness. Holiness. I could preach a whole message about that, but here it is real quick. This good wisdom from above, from God, from this one that is holy, he tells us that, he shows us that out of good, a holy lifestyle, that there flows meekness. Let's catch that again. It says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. I think we can deduce if we're ever going to have meek lives, then we first have to have holy lives. How can we expect to be meek if we are dealing in things that cause strife? You see, it's important. You might think to yourself, well, I need to be peaceful to somebody. Oh, I need to be more meek. Or I need to be a little bit more kind or a little bit more gentle. I need to hold my tongue a little bit more. All those things might be true, but here's the deal. If you're living ungodly, let me illustrate it like this. Let's say a man is having an affair with his wife. Does it matter how much he is nice or kind or meek or lowly or gentle or kind or any of those things if she knows about that? It matters not. If he's involved in, if he or she is involved in some kind of adulterous relationship, what does that matter? What does it matter how much he buys for her? What does it matter how much, how good he is to her? What does it matter if, what does that matter? Because you see, ungodliness and the thing that's causing strife has taken precedent over all those other things. The ungodliness, the ungodly ways, the unholiness in our lives, it takes precedence over all the other things. If my life is filled with hateful speech, and just filled with hatefulness and bitterness towards somebody, and I'm just letting this pour out of my mouth, what good does it do for me to come along and try to be meek, gentle, or kind, or good, or peaceful, or easily to be entreated, as we'll look at here in just a moment? It does no good. If my life revolves around sinful acts, if my life revolves around wicked things, and that's a source of contention, that's the source of the problem, then the other things on the list are not going to matter for us. It starts with verse number 13. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. We don't need to get caught up in this thing today of saying that, you know what? I'm just going to let God do. I just got to. And I know there's an area of surrender and submission in our life. We looked at that on Sunday night. But I'm just going to. It's not in my hands anymore. The ball is not in my court. It's all in God's hands now. I don't have to do anything at all. Well, the Bible says very clear. He says, "Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." We're not in this thing all by ourselves, praise God. But at the same time, God is not up there in heaven with little puppet strings on us, kind of directing us where we should go and what we should do. No, we've got a responsibility also. We've got to do something too. We've got to take some courage and some action to say, you know what? I'm tired of living ungodly. I'm tired of fighting. This ungodly thing is causing our source of contention in this thing. You know what? It's time to get rid of it and time to move on. So we come to our second place. See, you can't have peace in your life while sin still exists. I think that's what I'm trying to say with all that. To sum that up, you cannot have peace in your life if sin is in existence in your life. It's just an impossibility. Sin and peace do not mix. They're like oil and water. They just don't go together. They don't work together. They don't ride in the same ship and the same boat. They don't drink out of the same water fountain, all right? I'm just saying that they don't, they're different. They're away from each. Sin and peace do not coexist. You need to have holiness, but I think the next thing is obvious. He says, out of the good conversation with meekness of wisdom. And here is the key. I think when we have successfully ridded our lives of the things that are causing strife, that are unholy and ungodly and unbefitting of a saint of God, then we can embrace this attitude of meekness. And no doubt every single one of us will still continue in the relationships that we have things to pop up every now and again that are going to be unholy or ungodly that we're going to have to deal with first before we can get back to being meek again. But overall, when we have successfully ridded the things out of our lives that are causing the strifes in our lives, then this attitude of meekness can begin to take over, which is the wisdom of God. As we read earlier, that strifes and quarrels are the wisdom of the devil. But we need to learn to be meek, to have strength under control. That is godly and that is wise. The word meek means that. It means strength under control. Sure, you have power to leave that relationship if you want to. You have that power. All right, you have that will. You can leave. Fine. But is that right? Is that holy? Is that meek? No, because see, meekness is strength under control. Moses had the power. God gave it to him to be the man that was going to be starting the nation all over again. Think about that. God was going to wipe out all of the people of Israel and start it all over with Moses. And Moses, in his meekness, asked and pleaded with God and said, "No, please, God, don't do that." That's meekness, my friend. That is strength under control. Sure, you have the power to leave that job and get all mad and get all huffy and get all mad about it, but is that right? Is that what God wants? Is that what God wants for your life? Sure, you have the power over your tongue to say whatever you want to say. Sure, go ahead, say it. But is that meek? Is that holy? Is that right? We need to practice meekness in all areas of our life. Strength under control. Let your tongue be controlled. And then finally, fighting is unadvised. Because we need to have holiness, we need to have meekness, and we need to have peace in our lives. And we find that here again in verse number 17. He says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and then peaceable." And then he says in verse 18, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown of peace, of that are sown in peace of them that make peace." What does Jesus say over in the Beatitudes? I think I forget this sometimes, but he even says this. I think that's one I forget a lot. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." These are the children of God, the people that make peace. That's what God says in his word. That's what our Lord says, is the person that makes peace are the children of God. It is those that make peace, those that desire to have an accord and to have a fellowship with their fellow man. And all that comes in a variety of ways. And he lists them for us. He says in 17, he says, "Let that wisdom be pure," this meek wisdom, this peaceable wisdom, "let it be pure." We deal with folks in a pure and innocent way, in a modest way. No airs about us, no hidden agendas or evil manipulations or wrong motives in our heart. We deal with people purely. I love what 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 says. It says, "For neither at any time we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness." God is a witness. Paul says, "I didn't try to cover up myself and pretend to be somebody who I was." No, he was pure with them. He says here in verse number 17 again, he says, "It's a peaceable wisdom. It's a gentle. It's easy to be entreated." I like that word. You know what that word means? It means compliance. Now, this is why this message is so important in the order that it goes. Okay. Because here we get to this place here, we deal with people's compliance. You know what compliance means? It means to bend or to bow. All right? Now, if I put that at the beginning of the message, we might think to ourselves, you know what? In areas of sin, I can bend and bow, right? No. No, we take care of the sin first. We take care of the holiness, the righteousness, the godliness first. And then we say, you know what? We're dealing with some things right here that don't compromise our standards, they're not areas of sin, but there are areas in our life in each and one of our relationships that we have to, if we're going to have good, peaceable relationships and have victory over fighting, is that we're going to have to learn to bend and bow and not break. Because there are things in your life and in my life. There are things in your spouse's life. There are things in your co-worker's life. There are things in your children's life and in your parents' life. There's all kinds of things that you don't particularly agree with. You don't particularly like. You don't particularly maybe say, you know what, I enjoy that about that person. But here's the thing. You learn to bow with some things, to bend with some things, to move with some things, to say, you know what, I love that person though so much that I'm willing to accept that. And eventually might even learn to love them for it. We deal with people in mercy. We see, you see that if it weren't for the grace of God, we would have the same exact issues as somebody else. We'd have the same issues. And so we have to not be arrogant or sinful, but we have to learn to be merciful in our position and not arrogant ourselves, taking into consideration that, you know what, they may be right. Or taking into consideration that we may be in their same position one day. So be merciful with people when you're trying to have victory over fighting. Whenever that fighting comes up, be merciful with somebody. Don't just rake somebody over the coals. Don't just throw somebody out. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't be so hard and down on somebody all the time that they can't ever seem like they can do anything right. Be merciful. Have victory over fighting. And then he says in verse number 17, he says, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. I put these two together. We need to learn to be impartial and sincere. We don't choose sides. We don't pick favorites. And when we do take a stand, we don't back down from it or change our mind when we're confronted with the issues in our lives. Sin is not just sin in other people's lives. Sin is still sin in my life also. I think that's so important. Sin is still sin in my life also. If we're ever going to have victory over fighting, then we've got to say, you know what? That person's sinning, but you know what? I'm also sinning too. There's sin involved in their life, but you know what? What about the sin in my life? And we don't just point the finger at somebody else because we always realize that there's three or four fingers pointing back at me. Understand that, believe that, and see that. And finally, here's the key verse for us tonight in having victory over fighting. He says in verse number 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Righteousness comes out of peace with our brother or sister in Christ. Righteousness will flow out of your relationship with your husband or wife when peace is made. Righteousness will pour down from heaven when peace is made with your child. But in order to have peace, you're going to have to make an earnest effort to live godly and righteously in this present evil world. You're going to have to embrace meekness. You're going to have to give in some. You're going to have to bend. You're going to have to not break. You're going to have mercy. You're going to have to learn to deal with people with impartiality and sincerity. It's not going to happen overnight, as the scriptures allude to here. It says the fruit of peace, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. You never begin to reap righteousness and have a righteous relationship until you first sow in peace. We were just at a house not too long ago, and there was a man there, Chinese, I guess he was from Vietnam. And he had this beautiful tangerine tree out in his backyard. And Kevin and I were looking at that tree and said, man, that's a beautiful tree. And it had tangerines all over it, about 100 or more. And Lori can testify to her. They were probably the best tangerines I ever had in my life. Sweet. I mean, just sweet, sweet, sweet. But I said, wow. How'd you get that? How'd that happen? What? And he planted the tree 21 years ago. 21 years ago, he planted that tree. He said, I got a Home Depot. But you know what? 21 years ago, when he got that tangerine tree, and if he had left it in that pot, I'd guarantee you that tangerine tree wouldn't be alive today. But here's another thing. He planted that tangerine tree, and he said it's given him fruit every single year. But I guarantee you that this year, it's probably given him more. And every year, it gives him a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. Because that's exactly what the scriptures are alluding to here. It says in verse number 18, it says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. If you're going to have a righteous and good relationship, if you're going to have a victory over fighting, don't think it's going to happen overnight. You might see some good fruits coming out of it every once in a while. A little here and a little there, a little bit more here and a little bit more there. But here's the thing. The more you sow peace, the more and the longer you do, then the more righteousness can come forth and bring forth out of that relationship. You can have a good marriage. You can have a good relationship with your kids. You can have a lasting relationship with your parents or with your coworkers or with your friends. If we'll just learn to have victory over fighting. Victory over fighting. God gives it to us in His Word. It's very plain. It's very clear. From whence come wars and fightings from among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? May God help us not to fight. And when we do, may God help us to forgive. I know that wasn't said tonight, but no doubt every single one of us will probably be in an argument sooner or later. And may we learn to forgive. And may we go back to James chapter 3 and 4 and see once and again that such fighting was sinful. And we need to ask the one that we fought with to forgive us, and we need to ask God to forgive us because it's ungodly. It's unrighteous. It's unbefitting of a child of God. And then may we learn the principles. Live a holy life, a meek life, a peaceable life. May God help us in these things. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the victory that you give to us in your word, the victory over fighting. There's so much victory, Lord, to be talked about in the word of God, and so much that I missed tonight, Lord. And I hope that maybe something I said tonight was a help to somebody. I know it was a help to me, and I pray that you please will use it for the glory of God, in Jesus' name. God bless you.